Welcome back to the second portion of Are We Alone? I am Mike Eisner, your host, and we are discussing the reality of extraterrestrial vehicles. Dr. J. Allen Hynek of the Northwestern Astronomy Department and consultant of the Air Force for 19 years on unidentified flying objects. And Mr. Fred Beckman of the University of Chicago Medical Department has analyzed numerous pictures of unidentified flying objects. Gentlemen, it seems that the biggest step for us would be to obtain a tangible piece of hardware from one of these vehicles. Has an extraterrestrial vehicle ever crashed on Earth?
Well, there have been a few reports to this effect, but again, we're still back in the report business. I have never seen, and we certainly don't have at Wright Field, any example of any real hardware. I thought you were going to say that the first real step we should have would be to get an authentic photograph. I've suggested that squad cars be equipped with loaded cameras so that we'll have some chance of getting an actual photograph. It seems so strange that 20 years have gone by with reports coming in from not only this country but many other countries, and the photographs are such extremely poor quality. In fact, the only good quality photographs I know anything about are those that generally turn out to be fakes.
There was a case, I believe, in 1952 where a jet plane sighted an unidentified flying object and saw it crash to the earth. A study was made by the Norwegian government after this, and they came out with a release in 1955 stating that this material was made by an unknown process and of materials unknown to earthly man. Is this common information as far as the materials are concerned?
Oh, this is a nice story, and I've heard the story many times, but I've never seen the material, and I've not even seen the report. The governments are large organizations, and if a person says a government, be it the Brazilian government, or the Norwegian government, or the Argentinian government, has said something, one always must trace about what agency in the government said it and how responsible an agency was it. I would like to see this Norwegian government report, and I would certainly like to see the materials and who said it was unknown to earthly man. You may be getting the impression here that I'm antagonistic and wanting to just tear down everything. That's not the case at all. I don't think anyone would be more pleased than I would be if we could make out a really strong case for extraterrestrial visitors. It would make astronomy even more exciting than it is. But we can't pursue that unless we have real evidence. And the only thing we have so far that I would present in a court of law are reports, and those certainly do exist.
Yes, I think the case that we're trying to make here is that the wishful thinking really has no place in a scientific investigation, and that not being too ready to believe pieces of evidence of the sort that we've been discussing does not mean that these objects that are not really under investigation. This is a misinterpretation of the aims of this. But the whole point is that the duty of any scientist studying this problem to be strictly from Missouri, to really know the truth.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. And my first approach to any report that comes in is not, oh goody, here's another thing to tantalize and to I can talk about and amaze my friends with, so to speak. But my first attempt is to, how can I explain, is there any way of explaining this report in normal, natural means? And I try very hard. And it's only when a few reports are resistant and simply refuse to yield to what you might say common sense that I feel that we have really something then to go on. And of the many thousands of reports, only 4 or 5% of those reports, in fact only 1 or 2%, fall into the category, the class of being really quotes out of this world.
Well now, Dr. Hynek, I think by that you mean probably that these are the only ones which have enough evidence that or enough potential evidence in them to warrant an investigation.
Yes.
that might actually give you some answers. There are many cases in which you just you simply must throw up your hands and say, this may be true, but there is not enough here to do anything
Yes, I must amend that statement. There are certainly perhaps as many as 20% of the reports. Well, here's a good example. A person says that late at night they were either driving along or looking out the bedroom window or some such thing, and they saw a bright light going across the sky in an unconventional manner, shall we say. Well, fine. You get the report, you look at it, and you call the people up and you question them a little more. And what do you get outside the fact? You come to the conclusion after 2 hours of talking to them that they saw a bright light, which is what they said in the first place. Now, some people are content, and it's quite honest. We'll say, well, fine, all right, we saw a bright light. It might have been an error. It might have been an extraterrestrial visitor. It might have been an aircraft on some special mission. But what I don't like is when people see a bright light and tell me they saw a spaceship patrolling the Earth last night, when all they don't know that they saw a spaceship patrolling the Earth. All they know is that they saw a bright light. It might have been a spaceship. In other words, the great trouble here is that people substitute interpretation of a fact for the fact.
Well, in a case like this, there may be no compelling evidence in either direction.
In either direction.
And therefore, it still is an unknown, in the sense that it can't be explained either as a known or natural object, nor can it be explained as an unearthly
object.
Exactly.
That's very well.
Mm-hmm. And so many of the reports are in this category. I don't know if this would be the place to suggest what might be done.
Well, I think it's always a good idea to suggest what might be done.
To improve the situation, I think that this is something that has to be looked into to improve the quality of the evidence.
We're smelting a low-grade ore right now, and we need to improve the quality of the ore.
It has to be refined considerably.
Mm-hmm. It has been reported that numerous observations of unidentified flying objects have been in the area of atomic plants. And does this mean that they are studying man and his progress and possibly the means by which man can destroy himself?
Well, I'll take that one because I've had to deal with that one many times. It's true that there have been reports from in the region of atomic plants and a lot of other places. Possibly this is due to the fact that atomic plants have more night watchmen and observers around, whereas a candy factory probably doesn't. But again, we hit this whole point of the interpretation of the fact. It's a little bit like when we ascribe our own type of thinking to animals or to other things. We are being anthropomorphic here in a sense. Suppose it is so that there's a higher percentage of sightings near atomic plants. It wouldn't necessarily follow that this is a surveillance mission, but of course it could be. But to answer your question specifically, yes, there have been, I wouldn't say an abnormal number, but there have been a number of reports in the past 20 years around atomic plants.
That would probably apply to this next question. Other reports state that many sightings have been in the area of geographical fault lines in the Earth's surface. This does not necessarily then relate back to the fact that they are analyzing the changes in the Earth's pattern.
That's true. Now, if they were, again, if they were studying humanity, you would expect that they would go to large population centers, hover over New York, see what people do during the lunch hours and this and that. But if there is any correlation that seems to stand out in UFO sightings is that they, in general, avoid population centers. There are more observations from sparse areas. This could also have a normal explanation that people in New York City, for instance, rarely ever look up at the sky, whereas people out in North Dakota have a much better acquaintance with the sky above them. Does that? I'm not sure whether that answers that particular question. There haven't been many reported in the area of geographical fault lines. I think, again, those reports arise from, or that interpretation arises from people who have a particular hobby horse to ride, and they want to prove something, so they'll pick these things.
Don't you? Yes, this is what we call an effect of selective
selection
data.
Factor.
We don't have, at this time, any one center which has all of the sightings. Therefore, a really final pattern that these people are looking for is simply not available on the basis of what the amount of data and the spread of the data that's in existence.
With all of these positive points in mind about the reality of extraterrestrial vehicles, such as the extensive history of the sightings and the great number of the sightings and the fact that they are observed around the world, how can we now account for the other problems in proving their existence, such as the great distances that they must travel to get here and the means of propelling these vehicles?
I think that the most natural thing for us to do is what we have done, and that is to try and project this problem into our own science and to say, this particular time, could we or could we foresee the possibility of, say, traveling to another position in space that's 30 light years away from here, say? And our answer at this particular time happens to be no. We can't do it, and we can't foresee any way to do it. Now, this is a very strong case against UFOs coming from great distances. And even though it is an extremely strong case, we still cannot rule it out. So it has to remain open as one of the possibilities. I think, in any case, that's just my own point of view.
I would certainly agree.
One of the greatest problems of the public and unidentified flying object study organizations is that the United States Air Force was withholding vital information about the research of these objects. As a personal consultant to the Air Force, Dr. Hynek, do you believe that this is a true accusation?
Well, I certainly do not. As a personal consultant to the Air Force, I have no evidence at all that anyone has deliberately withheld information about researches in these objects. These questions are a little bit like, have you stopped beating your wife type questions. I would have to turn that around and first of all say to the people who make this accusation, what is your evidence that this is so? Quite true that the Air Force, in my opinion at least, has not given as much attention to these reports as I think they should have. And this is largely no one person's fault. It's simply the fact that the whole subject has not been taken seriously enough to have enough funds allocated to the study of the phenomenon. But as far as diabolical withholding of evidence, and sometimes even I've heard the accusation that evidence has been destroyed, I certainly found no evidence of that.
Now that the Air Force has turned the research work over to Dr. Condon at the University of Colorado, are you personally satisfied with this move?
Very much so, because I was in part, and only in part, instrumental in having it come about. I think it is an excellent idea to have a group of independent scientists take a look at this phenomenon, and a fresh look, and reevaluate the problem and see just what sort of a problem really exists. What do you think, Dr. Beckman, about that?
Well, I'm in agreement. I certainly do think the move to put Dr. Condon in charge of this project and to have a project which is independent from government and associated with universities is a giant step forward in both in research methods and also in probably the attitude of the scientific world in taking a more active interest in the subject.
Where do you think we can go from here, gentlemen, in our study on extraterrestrial vehicles?
Greatest step going from here in the study of UFOs, I'm going to say UFOs rather than extraterrestrial vehicles, would be to really look into a few of the really puzzling cases. It may come as a surprise to you that the Air Force, largely because of lack of funds and lack of scientific respectability of the subject, has never investigated any case in the depth, for instance, that the FBI would investigate a kidnapping or a narcotics ring, where a case is pursued and pursued and pursued month after month until some answer, positive answer, one way or the other, comes out. The Condon Committee is a step in this direction.
I agree entirely, and I would simply like to add the following thing. Dr. Hynek's hope that further funding and a renovation of the attitude toward the unidentified flying object problem would make possible for us to do several things. And one is to take the existing data, have it put in a form which is comprehensible to computing machines. And I think there we would be able to extricate the patterns that everybody is looking for and hoping for. And beyond that, increased funds and support would make it possible not to wait for the UFO to come over, but to actually pursue it with instrumentation with all kinds of scientific equipment, which will give us a great step forward in the knowing the exact physical nature, if it is a physical phenomenon, and bring us that much closer to knowing exactly what they are.
Are other countries investigating unidentified flying objects as extensively as this nation? And if so, why can't we get together with them and have a worldwide project in the study of unidentified
flying objects? Oh, that's a lovely question, and one that's very close to my heart, because I think in any scientific project, it would be, for instance, unthinkable for a doctor in this country to study a disease that has sprung up in this country without trying to find out from his colleagues in other countries whether that disease also exists there. And the same way with the UFOs, I think it would be important to know what relationship does a Brazilian, Argentinian, a Japanese, an Australian, a French UFO bear to an American UFO? And there should be some means of having information cleared between countries on this subject.
Is there any one case that either you, Mr. Beckman, or Dr. Hynek have covered that you really cannot find an answer or solution to?
Good heavens, many of them.
Well, again, they're in this never-never land. There isn't enough data to show that the thing is a natural phenomenon. On the other hand, there is a tremendous limitation to showing the other hypothesis to be the case. And I believe that increasing numbers of very well verified sightings, and by verified I refer to the points that I made referring to the computer analysis and the further physical investigation of this phenomenon, if it is one, that eventually, when enough of this information is available, we will have an answer which will tell us where to go from there.
Besides the United States Air Force, there are numerous private organizations that research and study unidentified flying objects. Probably the most prominent of these is NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena. I spoke with Sherman J. Larson, president of the Chicago affiliate of NICAP, on the telephone, and asked him what NICAP is and what it believes about the reality of unidentified flying objects.
NICAP is a group of individuals, prominent scientists, retired officers of the military, educators, and other leading citizens who are interested in the subject of UFOs, unidentified flying objects. And what they want to do is to gather data on UFOs and then have them interpreted or analyzed as best as possible by experts in their various fields. In other words, our subcommittee members all over the country are made up of a minimum of master's degrees in each of the fields that we use. So we feel these people are quite qualified. Now, in addition to that, after the investigation has been completed, the evidence has been gathered, and evaluations have been made, then we like to release this information to the public so that they in turn can use their own judgment as to whether or not they want to go along with the idea for or against the thought that possibly these are extraterrestrial vehicles. One further point, I think, is that we at no time have tried to locate or give any ideas as to where UFOs are from, assuming, of course, they're from someplace, that they're real. All we're saying is that we think the evidence has accumulated to such a point that there is apparently something there that is unknown, and we really want to know what it is. Now, one step further, the majority of reports of UFOs are, of course, quickly solved as balloons or airplanes or birds or whatever, hoaxes or hallucinations or whatever. But it's the remaining unknowns that we are interested in. And that's one reason we're very happy that this investigation is now going on in Denver through the University of Colorado under Dr. Condon, and we think that something good will come out of this in the way of a basic conclusion.
Sherman J. Larson of NICAP. Gentlemen, do you believe that the public is ready to accept the reality of visitors from another planet?
I think yes, because we are attuned to, we're in the space age. Public in general accepts very much the possibility of life elsewhere. Astronomers even have said this time and again, and that life is very likely elsewhere. And as a matter of fact, I think the great majority of people have the notion that if life is more advanced and civilization is more advanced than ours, that this also means that they are less warlike, more benign, and that their attitude toward us would be friendly rather than rapacious and predatory. And I think that by and large people would take reasonably kindly. There would always be some cases of panic, and there are some people who are afraid to cross the street, as far as that goes.
The only addition I can make to that is that I would not be in favor of presenting to the public something which is not entirely verified. There's no point in handling this as a rumor, in other words, which may not actually be the case.
But if we once really had absolutely first-class, unimpeachable evidence that we were being visited, then I think it would be the government's duty to let the people know about it, and I think they would take it fairly kindly.
I'd certainly agree with that.
Dr. Hynek and Mr. Beckman, thank you very much.
The evidence seems to demonstrate with adequate certainty that intelligent beings from another planet have been observing the Earth for the last 8 years. If it is possible to make contact with these beings, it will be the most dramatic event in history. It is the duty of governments to prepare man for the possibility of such an encounter.
Are We Alone? Has been a presentation of radio station WNTH, New Trier Township High School in Winnetka, Illinois. Our guests this evening have been Dr. J. Allen Hynek and Mr. Frederick Beckman. This is Mike Eisner speaking.
This is the National Educational Radio Network.